Shalom and good morning. I want to invite us into the study of today. I want to ask all the listeners just to concentrate on Galatians chapter 2 from verses 11 and to 21. This is about 10 verses this morning. And we are looking at how you can be able to confront the leadership hypocrisy, how you can be able to deal with some discrepancies or some hypocrisy from the leaders. The book of Galatians, we are looking at the causes of backsliding. It's a book that we see that the children had started to backslide. They started to slide back. They were drifting from the path of faith, and they were drifting to bypasses, what we call bypasses of law, bypasses of circumcision, bypasses of flesh, of trusting in human abilities. And Paul was told that this church had started to go back, because after this church was opened by Paul, it went on well, grew up very fast, received the word with a lot of enthusiasm. But after about 3 years or so, some people followed. These are the people Jesus called those who planted tares, those who planted the weeds, because false teaching is about weeds. And as Jesus was speaking one day, he says that a good farmer planted good seeds, and while he slept, an enemy came and planted tares. While men slept, enemy came and planted tares. And when they woke up, they discovered they are growing together, and they wanted to uproot them. And Jesus said, no, it's not possible. So it is important to realize that when tares are planted among the weed, it's very hard to know them as they grow. It's also very hard to uproot them. And so the best thing is not to sleep, is to be keen, to be watchful, not to let the enemy plant tares. So this church was planted. The seed of the word of God was planted in the soil of the hearts of the Galatians, province of the churches. But while Paul was away, some agitators, some false teachers came and planted false teaching. And one of the things they did was to speak a false gospel. We discovered that there are six things they did, and we want to repeat chapter 1 of Galatians, is that they planted the false gospel, which comprised of a different Jesus, of a different gospel, of a different spirit. Number 2, they discredited, where we are today, they discredited the man of God. They spoke ill of the man of God. It's when they would not want to accept Paul as one of it. And we will discover number 3, which is chapter 3, is that they'll be able to control the might. Once they plant the long gospel or the different gospel, and they discredit you from your father, they speak ill of the man of God, that you are not able to trust him again. Now they can be able to take charge of your mind. So we don't want to go to others. Let's only focus on chapter 2. So here we discover that when Paul got born again, he, like what we saw the previous session yesterday, is that Paul was able to explain every stage. He gave a testimony of how God gave him authority and how he did not come to consult with other leaders, because his gospel was different from the gospel that these people are planting. So he was explaining the difference between the true gospel and the wrong gospel, and he was describing between the true Jesus and the wrong Jesus. And he said that Jesus came to me and invited me and gave me a revelation, and he gave eternally, or he gave stage by stage how he got born again until 14 years. Now, then he gave an episode that also gave him authority, that when he came to Antioch, and the disciples came to Antioch, they accepted him. Now, when Paul went to Jerusalem, the pastors and the church leaders acknowledged him as a true apostle. That means they did not reject him. Well, these other people are rejecting Paul, and they were saying that Paul is not like James and John and Peter. These key pillars in the Church of Jerusalem, they give Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They accepted him as the true minister. That means Paul was saying those people did not reject me as you are doing. Now, today we are looking at how Paul took charge and as an authority and rebuked Peter on the face. And I want you to see that sometimes people go back to religion because of the act of the good shepherds. We want to see how Peter was eating with the Gentiles. This is a case in Antioch. It was a case where the church, or the second stage of the church, the second station or the mission station, this was called Antioch. Well, Peter now came to Antioch. He was accepting and eating together with the Gentiles. He had no problem. And he was happy and they mingled like each other. Remember, those days, Jews and Gentiles would not eat together because eating meant fellowship. So when people would eat together, even today, when people eat together, it means they're having fellowship. But when some people came from James, from Jerusalem, Peter was afraid of them. And he got out, or he separated himself from the community of the Gentile. This was hypocrisy. But it was because the acts of Peter was, he was afraid. He didn't know what these people from Jerusalem would think of him. He was protecting his name. He was protecting his status. But he, not that he hated the Gentiles. He knew God had accepted the Gentile. But he was between what we call the hard ground and a rock. And so there he was, and he drifted. He moved from the Gentile community. And so it was so bad that all the Jews followed him, including even Barnabas. And Peter had to stop this hypocrisy. Now, Paul had to oppose, to confront Peter, because he discovered if he didn't do that, the church and the true gospel could have been destroyed by then. So you see here that the act of the leader, a good pastor like Peter, when they start to go back, when they start to act in a manner that is not biblical, they persuade others to do so. So people backslide, go back to flesh, go back to trusting the law and the circumcision because of the act of a good pastor. Yesterday we saw because of the abuses of the abusers, or the abuses of the bad people, of the false teachers, but also we are seeing the abuse of a good pastor. Peter was a good pastor, but the act he was doing was an abuse. He was causing pain to the church of Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says, verse 11. When Servus came to Antioch, I opposed him to his very face, because he stood condemned, judged. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. That was fellowship. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentile because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. You see, this is hypocrisy. He is pulling now from them. But it's not that he hated the Gentile, but he was afraid. And I know some of us have found ourselves in such a situation that we are doing things that we don't like. Sometimes we find ourselves bribing, not because we love bribing, but because we are afraid of policemen. Or we find ourselves doing some evil, cheating, not because we know that what we are doing is not right, but there's a force that is coming up. And so we mislead others. The other Jews, this was the bad problem, joined him in his hypocrisy. So that by this hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Remember, Barnabas was a core preacher, a core teacher, together with Paul for 2 years with this church. But now he is also now being put aside. Can you imagine if this was not confronted? The church at Antioch could have stopped immediately. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, to Cephas, in front of them all. Look, he's now confronting and he's doing in front. Because Peter is misleading in front. There are some things we must confront in front of other people. But there are some other things we confront when it is you are in private. Majorly, the rule of the verb is that we should confront in private. But when things are out of control, you must also be able to confront in the same position so that you win the people who have been misled. This is what Paul told Peter. You are a Jew, Peter, yet you live like a Gentile, yes, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and are not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. Peter is giving the foundation here. We are not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That one we are aware. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Jesus and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. So Paul brings this truth that by the works of the law, no man can be justified. Now, Peter was now drifting from the faith that he had preached, and he was going back to the law, or to the works of the law. And Paul began by giving this as the basis, that we know we are not justified by the law, but by faith. And you have already accepted that. Then why are you misleading others? Then Paul continued, but if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promises, promotes sins? Does that mean that Christ promotes sins? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. So Peter is actually destroying what he has been building. From the time of Cornelius, when the Spirit of God showed him that the Gentiles are accepted by the Spirit of God, by God, he started preaching that. But now he's destroying what he has been rebuilding. So he becomes a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So Paul is saying, no. Christ, if we go back to the law, as Peter, you are doing, Christ died for nothing. Do not set aside the righteousness of God, the grace of God. We do not, we are under the grace. Now, Peter, you are going back to the law. You are actually misleading others by your actions. You see, action speaks louder than words. Peter never spoke anything. But did you discover that Peter's actions misled very many people, including some of the preachers, like Barnabas, who had preached to the Gentiles? And Peter and Paul is giving him the, you know, the word. He's saying, sinners, Gentiles are sinners, yes, because they live by works. But we are not sinners, because we believe that we are justified by faith. But how come then you go back to the, you know, to the flesh again? And Peter was rebuked on the face. And this showed that Paul had authority. It showed that when those agitators said Paul did not have authority, when they discovered that he had been able to rebuke and confront Peter, whom they believed is the pillar out there, they discover that Paul had still authority, and their claim was being proved to be wrong. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to look up to you. Today, we don't want to go back to what we have destroyed. We believed that we are saved by grace, not by the law of the works. And so today, help us to trust in the grace. It is from grace, from beginning to the very end, in Jesus' name.